Thank you for coming to my website. Thank you for taking just a few moments out of your very busy, busy day to listen to an old man ramble on about spring break. Or is it Easter break? No, I'm not going to go back and forth because, as I said in one of the latter webcasts that I brought up on this illustrious website, johnecoleman.org, I want to thank my webmasters or my web servers for having me on their server thank them for the work that they've been doing for me as I've been broadcasting to many of you listening to me from various places. I want to thank all of my friends. No, I'm not going anywhere. I just had a thank you attack. I want to thank the people that I love, that love what I do enough to allow my voice to be heard anywhere in the world. And I'm paying for the right to be on their particular network, and I want to thank God for them and thank them for having me on. It is indeed a privilege. All right. I know that it is Easter time, but it is springtime. Kind of a strange time to live in America because we're yet having all of these diverse weather patterns. We don't know whether the sun should come out or stay hidden. Right now, the sun is out. My dog, Broman, is angry at me because I'm not walking him, and he's wondering why. It's because I'm in the studio working, and I don't have time to walk a primate. No, I'm just kidding. I was talking about Broman. But it's a beautiful day, but some might say that it's a spring day, yes. And what is that emblematic of? I recall when I was a little boy going to Sunday school as a Christian lad, it was springtime. I recalled it in school. Schools were having spring break, or Easter break is what we'd call it. We'd have an Easter pageant at the school, a Christian Easter pageant, and the Jewish children at times would participate with us and watch what we're doing, and then they would be dismissed for their special holiday time. And I recall those days. It was Easter week. We were out of school an entire 5 days. My brother and I would sit on the front porch of our house and name each car that would come down the street, whether it was an Oldsmobile or a Nash, or a Pontiac, a Hudson, or a Ford, or a Cadillac. And you notice I didn't mention any things about Datsuns or Toyotas or Jaguars. If we did see a Jaguar, we thought that that was quite interesting as little boys to see a super car like that going down the street. Why, we had no way to know what a Jaguar was if it came down the street. When I was a boy, cars would come down the street. We didn't know what the cars were because we grew up in one part of Los Angeles. Now, that was then. That time is very gone. It is dissipated. Young men, my goodness, are driving cars that I thought when I was a young man, it was impossible for us to even sit under the wheel of one. And so all has changed. And in this spectrum of the pendulum going back and forth, some of our young people are living in that world where Easter break, where we were thinking about when we were kids, the Easter egg hunts, the bunny rabbit, we exchange it candy packets with our classmates at school that Friday. And when recess came, all the classrooms let out and we were exchanging the candy. Nobody was worried about what candy was good or bad because it was all gooey sweet stuff that kids stuffed in their mouth and yawed on. A beautiful time to be alive. We walked home. No fights, no gangbangers when the junior high school kids were coming out of their school, walking down the street, they would merge with the grammar school kids. There was no cursing, fussing, none of that. You didn't even hear the D word. I'm letting you know the time that I grew up in, because it was Easter break. It was Easter break. My goodness, on Good Friday, the teachers couldn't let us go. We had to stay on the playground and play until a certain time. But then when it was time to leave, I have vivid memories of the kids bursting through the school gates, laughing joyously, but walking on the sidewalk, not spilling over into the street, not having fist fights with each other as they go down. No, no, no. That's a world that I'm living in now. But the world that I lived in was an orderly, sensible, manageable kind of thing that everybody just knew you had to be. Now look, we were all totally depraved then. Don't get me wrong. I know what we were. We were totally depraved creatures. But I know by the God that I love and I serve, we were a different people at a different time. A different people at a different time. And I'm telling you folk, I'm not trying to get down on those of us that have had parents and dropped the ball, because this webcast isn't like that. Look here, this is spring break now. And I understand spring break. Spring break is a time for us to break away from all of the regimented activities that life has gotten us into. Spring break means a time for me to break away from the normal and act and persuade in a very abnormal way. I understand spring break. Everybody needs a break. Everybody needs a break from the monotony. Everybody needs a break from the hypocrisy. Everybody needs a break from this or a break from that. Oh, I got to get, ooh, look at you, Professor Coleman. You don't even have to go to school for at least 5 days. You got all that time to yourself. You need a break, boy. You work hard. You need to relax. Who you going to go over to their house tonight? Who's coming over to yours? You going to a movie? Are you going fishing, surfing, skydiving? What you going to do, prof? You can do whatever you want to do because it's spring break. Just have some fun. You got paid, right? Spend some money. Boom, boom, this. Boom, boom, that. That's the way it's spring break. I understand that. Now, I can't go back to Easter break, because the Easter break that I was talking about is gone. And spring break, I'm looking at what that means. Spring break may break me, if you get my drift. If I go back to that, spring break may break me. So I'm not going to get into spring break. So what do I do during this time, this Easter break or this spring break? Well, this is what I do. First of all, as a person that believes in God, Christ, I recognize the fact that Jesus Christ died for my sins. What does that have to do with Easter break, spring break? What are you talking about him for? I recognize during this time that I am a sinner that is truly saved by the grace of God. I do not know why God's mercy and favor and grace is so shed abroad all over me. I don't know why God doesn't crush me. Why? Because I know what's in my mind, and I think what's in my heart is right. I want it to be right because I love God like that. But sometimes when I listen to other people, and that's what I'm trying to get out of the habit of doing, I don't want to listen to anyone about anything about me other than God. Oh my goodness, if you can zero in with me, you will know what I do during spring break or Easter break. I want to get into all I can about the God that made me who I am, and I want to enjoy that he has given me to enjoy. So since I'm off from work officially, though I have work to do, listen, I am going to have a joyous time enjoying me. And I wish for you the same thing. Now, I know some of you are waiting to hear, well, are you going to attend a church on Sunday? Yes, I plan to. Oh, wow. Wow. Because, man, if you weren't going to church on Easter Sunday, PJ, I wouldn't have. Hold it. I didn't say that I was going to church to worship on Sunday. I didn't say that. I said, yes, I am going to church on Sunday. I didn't say that I was going to worship. Now you're confused, and I want you to listen. And I want you to listen well, because you know, as your Bible teacher, you know that the Bible tells us that we can worship God anywhere, any place, any time, any day, any hour, any minute. And how are we to worship him? In spirit and in truth. Now, let me go back to the question. Oh, are you going to church on Easter Sunday morning? Are you going to church this Sunday, Pastor John? Yes, I'm going to a church. Well, which one? Oh, I don't know. Well, what are you going? Well, what do you mean you don't know? Because I'm going to do what I do. I go to churches. When I visit churches, I go to visit them. And what do I go to visit them to see? Well, no, you're supposed to go to church and worship. No, you missed the point. You missed the point again. I am in the Lucy Coleman studio, a room that's been converted into a studio in memory of my late, now deceased, almost so many years, 2001 wife. Okay, I can worship here. I have worshiped here, but that's none of your business anyhow. I'm answering the question. I am going to church on Easter Sunday morning, but I'm not going to worship because I would not be able to worship there for the show. Because if you go to church on Easter Sunday morning, you are going to see a show. And I am going to a show on Easter Sunday morning. And I will be, as I go to that show, entertained, I'm sure. I will not be disgusted or shamed or anything else like that, for the simple fact that I know what to expect when I go to one of those places on Easter Sunday morning. You would do well to listen close and please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I am not shaming. Yes, I am. I'm shaming what has happened to the institutionalized church. I mean, I can't play with this. I can't even make it light. It's a show. Everything is put together, organized, generated for show. Number one, how many of y'all going to be spending money like buku headless chickens running around trying to pretty up your feathers for one day to outsparkle some other rooster or peacock coming in there looking like Genghis Khan's mother-in-law? That's a transvestite cross-dresser. I am going to a church on this Sunday morning. And I'm going with someone that is none of your business. But before I leave my house, if God allows me to leave it, because he can kill me before this webcast is over, and it's all about Jehovah, and I love him dearly, and I'm not concerned about being here or putting this webcast up on the website. If I put it up, it's because he wanted me to place it up. That's the way I view God now. I don't view God on some mess that I may want to do. I want to be, as Paul said, dead to this world and alive to God. I'm going on Easter Sunday morning to a church. And I'm sure, as you know, if you attend, that you will be entertained. You may try to deny it. You're going to see something that's going to make you laugh. See, your worship is crack, snap, what is it? Crack, snackle, and pop. Because that's what it is. Because, see, you've been going there pretending yourself. That's why you going shopping this weekend for your children to buy them all them clothes to put on them. And you know you're going to try to outshine the other. Yes, you are. You're going to have all them girls look like the Three Stooges all dressed up backwards. That's a show. And you will be entertained with it. As a matter of fact, you stand up, the little children, I know because I participated in that for years. But my eyes was not open. And the longer you live, the wiser you become. And then, I'm saying this because sometimes we want our children to participate in the madness that we participated in without us spending some adequate time in the history of our lives by looking closely at what this is. I love God with all my heart, my soul, my mind, my being. When I'm well in my body and in my mind, I praise him. When I'm sick in my body and I'm hurting in my body, I call out for him because I want him to touch me and to have mercy on me. I've experienced pain so much that I thought that I would die. And in the midst of experiencing that pain, I've had the great privilege of saying, even so, Lord, you are God. You are good. You are wonderful. And then on the other hand, I've heard people, when they're in pain, cursing God, cursing the day that they even knew God, not even wanting to mention his blessed name. I've seen people like that. I've heard from them. I'm not like that. Now, we are all left with the challenge. We can go to church and we can pretend as if there is no show in front of us. Oh, I bet you if you go to the big house church, it's like, was any kind of first church. You go to the first church of anything. And these big mega churches, you go down here to West Angeles, Church of God in Christ. You go to Ken Omer's place in Inglewood, California, over there. You go to Noel Jones's City of Refuge. And I don't know whether that's, well, let me leave that alone. Wherever you go, you're going to see a show. And if there's a so-called first lady, she's going to be the biggest, funniest looking peacock in the whole place. Now, to prove that I'm right about it, when you go to the thing on Sunday morning, tell me not if you're not going to be laughing when you see her strutting in with them feathers picking out of her head with little peacock eyeballs on the back of it. There was a lady in the church that I grew up in that was like that. I won't even give her name because I believe she's still alive. And I love her dearly. though she was that. She was a peacock lady. She wore those funny looking hats. Those of you that went to the vet, you know who I'm talking about. You would laugh when you see her. That woman was out of her mind. And you know that it was a show. And why are we acting? Why are we pretending on Easter Sunday? Oh, I told you, I'm going to worship on Easter Sunday. But I'm going to worship at home. I may be in the shower and I'll be worshiping. I may be right after my feet hit the floor, I will start weeping before God. I can be worshiping while I'm walking bro man around the block, looking at the trees, the sparrows, the birds flying, and cats coming out making my dog try to run and jump away. I can worship anytime, any place, anywhere. You may call it the Sabbath, the Babbath, the Shabbath, the whatever. Man may give it a name. You can tie a rope around your head. You can put a cross around your neck. You can do, I'm going to tell you this. This is one thing that I have learned of my Lord, that Jehovah is everywhere. I didn't say he's in a piece of wood, a tin can. I did not say that. Don't misquote me. I know what you evangelicals try to do. I'm not going to let you get away with it, not even if you listen to this after the moment that I said it. That's the level that I'm thinking on, my friends. I want you people to be free. And if you're free to express the truth of what happens on Easter break, first, it starts off with Good Friday. I know, you know, and I know the biblical story very well. What? Why am I going to church to hear? You know what? This is what I do. Whatever church or institution I go to, even if I go to a church where a student of mine is preaching or bringing the word, I am listening very closely to what that man says. Now, you notice I said man, because if it's a woman, I'm not going to be sitting there disgracing God, trying to act like my heart is in the room. See what I mean? See what I mean? But if it's a man, and the man is there, and he says, I'm standing here, and I'm telling you, I'm not perfect, and I'm not trying to be perfect for you. I pray, I hope, I beg that I'm perfect before my God. And then that man said, when I can say, I love you, each and every one of you, with all that I have. And today's Sunday morning, Easter Sunday worship service is simply entitled, I want to share my love with you. And at that point, that male preacher starts telling me in a language that I could understand with words that I grew up with in the place where I find myself, that he could use words that could express to me that regardless of what I've done last night, regardless of what my family might think of me, regardless of the shame that I've been forced to feel, that God, always love me. That's the kind of church I would attend. And I'd sit and I'd listen to that and I'd say, oh, yeah, brother. Yeah, brother, you. Yeah, brother. Yeah, me too. Amen. If you want to hear that, amen. 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 See, you have to think about it. You have to think about what that brother is saying. Not the woman, because the Bible says that the woman is not to usurp authority over the man. And it says, I did not allow her to teach. But if a brother filled with the Spirit of God, speaking the word of God, not speaking any other words of men, because the word of God, if I'm in a room full of worshipers, I want to be in a room where a gay man can walk in that room. You hear me? Where a gay man can walk in that room and everybody know he's gay. And that gay man can sit down right next to me. And as the preacher is talking about loving, and I look at that gay man and he looks at me and smiles, and I could just hold my hand out freely, sit next to him in the pew, and he would hold his hand out and we would clasp. And in that way, I'm letting him know, I love you too, brother. I love you too. Can I do that in your church? Oh, I see. I see. The usher may see that clasping hand and mark you as gay, huh? Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Your wife may be sitting next to you, and she may see that, and what would she think? Oh, I understand. So it was a show. It is a show. What's it, show and tell? What's that? See, that's why I told you, I worship where I am. Because I don't want to be in a show when I come before Jehovah God. Now, this may tick some of you off. You can be ticked all you want to. I'm just keeping this as real as the day is raw. I don't think that's what God the Father, God the Son, nor God the Holy Spirit would have us to be. No. I don't believe that he would have us to be that way. Yes, I believe that if that male preacher was preaching God's truth from his pulpit and preached that sermon on love and broke down, listen to me, broke down what the writer in the book said when he said, greater love has no man than this, that a man laid down his life for a friend. That's the kind of love I'm talking about. That's why when that black man in the church heard the preacher say that, and he looked up, and another gay black man was sitting next to him, and he knew the man was gay. And the man looked at him and kind of smiled, and dropped his head, because he knows he's gay. And he knows that when he's in that kind of protective kind of a situation, wait a minute, I'm going to share with you, because I just got a phone call while I'm in the midst of this webcast. How you doing, young pastor?
I'm doing all right. You doing a webcast, man?
Yes, I am, right.
Is that right? Okay.
And wait a minute. No. No, just just listen. You have to respond to me.
Yes, sir.
I just presented a scenario.
Yes.
And since I did not orchestrate this call, and we're 29 minutes into the cast, I'll repeat to you my scenario.
Yes.
And without you knowing where I'm going, I'm going to let you answer it. And for you, ladies and gentlemen, to prove my point, this man that just called me is a Christian pastor in a church and a student of mine. Here's the scenario. I was saying to the people, Zerix, that I was not going to go to, well, no, if someone asked me, are you going to church this Easter Sunday morning? I said, in my pretending scenario, yes, I'm going to church. Now, the evangelical would say, oh, I'm so happy that you're going to church because I thought that you were finished with church. All right. The scenario went like this. I was saying that I'm going to church on Easter Sunday morning, but I am not going to worship. And if a person would say, well, why aren't you going to worship on Easter Sunday morning in the church? Because I told I would tell this imaginary person, I am going for the show. And I was describing to the people on this webcast, Pastor Reamer, that every Easter Sunday morning, everybody goes to see a show. The kind of clothes the women got on, whose children are outdressing the other children, and all of this. And I was saying, coupled with the sermon, the message, the song, the church is being entertained on Easter Sunday morning. And I told them that this is the ideal church that I would go to, where a man, not a woman, is behind the pulpit. And I explained to them why. Because God didn't say that a woman should be a preacher. And I said the man would say, I will preach a sermon on love. Greater love than no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. And if that male preacher on Sunday morning was preaching about the love that Jesus showed on Calvary for dying for our sins, and that male preacher said every one of us in this room should demonstrate that kind of love to anybody we see. And at that moment, a man in his pew sitting next to his wife would turn to his left and see a gay man about his age sitting next to him alone. And I said, I would love to go to a church where a straight man could put his hand out for the gay man to grab it and to squeeze that man's hand to show his love for him, sitting next to his very wife in the church. Now, would you please give the listening audience what might be the response of that to the people that are gathering for the show?
Oh, it would be easy. It would be, how dare he?
Go ahead.
It would be, how dare he, number one. And then number two, it would be tantamount to the preacher, depending on the congregation, focusing on the gay dude. And attempting into switching the agape love, what should be the text sermon, to the phileo love of attempting to make the gay dude come into the synthesis of the local depraved church.
But now watch, and this is what I, now the man that put his hand out listened to the sermon from the pastor, and so the straight man was saying to the gay man, brother, I love you.
Right.
Give me your hand.
Right.
Give me your hand. I will hold my hand tight in the worship service. I told him, that's the kind of church I want to attend on Sunday morning. I want to attend a church where no one is there judging anybody, that everybody is there trying to catch the message and not the show. But then I told them, Zerix, on this Sunday morning, everybody going to be looking at what the first lady got on, if that hat's not kicking and jamming. And so I was telling them, I'm not going to church on Sunday morning to worship. And I am going to church.
Right.
But I told them, I'm going to worship at my house before I leave. I'm going to worship when my feet hits the floor. I'm going to worship when I make my coffee. I'm going to worship when I back out the car. But when I go in that building,
right,
on this Easter Sunday morning, it's going to be a show in front of me.
Right.
And I'm going to giggle about it. I'm going to let. And then I ask the people, where's your worship and honor to God?
Right. Wow. That's interesting. that's very, very interesting, because you absolutely right. Christianity for a long time has been a show. As a matter of fact, those of you that happen to be of any particular denomination, you know that from the time the church starts up until the time that the pastor opens up the Word of God, it is a show.
Yes.
And traditionally, what was the difference maker was after you fed your flesh and you've sung a song for you and the organ has made you feel good and the harp and the saxophone or the eloquent baritone singers sing, then the pastor's job was to bring you into reality by preaching an exegetical sermon that was more convicting in nature and that would take away from the flesh that you just appeased by singing How Great Thou Art. You really didn't mean it, but...
There you go. Right.
So the pastor's job was to bring you into focus. It was time to hear from God.
Yes.
However, today, you're no longer hearing from God because the man of God has compromised.
Yes.
And so because he has compromised, then all you have in church service is flesh, flesh. You don't have flesh acquiescence to the Word of God.
Right.
So, right. Yeah, you would be absolutely right. So, no, most of church purposes today are either a show, if you're attending to visualize, or it is work for those that participate in the articles of service.
And listen, I was thinking about this earlier, you know, while I was thinking about doing this, because I entitled the show, it's going to be called Spring Break or Easter Break. And I was saying, I explained to them earlier, you have to listen to the first part of this before you call. This is weird. This is wonderful, too, at the same time. But I was talking.
Yeah, 'cause I have no idea what you were talking about earlier. I just called.
Right. And so it's going to be wild when you listen to it, and then it's going to flow in. But I was explaining to them what Easter break was to me, how it was when I was a kid. And so I said, to try to take Easter break the way it was to me back in that worldview when the world was like that is different. And then I was explaining what spring break was. Spring break is, hey, I'm going to take off from work. I'm going to break the monotony. I'm going to relax. I'm going to entertain myself. And then I was saying, now look what the church has done with Easter break. They've taken the high and holiest religious holiday for the Christian, and they spend the weekend in the mall spending money that they don't have, trying to outdress the other person in the three-ring circus called the church. And the First Lady is the head of all of that stuff. That's why for years, Lucy and I didn't buy any new clothes for Easter. But Lucy slipped in and got the girls something there. I said, why don't you let them go in what they wore last week? I mean, I would start a riot when I said that. But we become totally, totally a materialistic show. And that's why I'm going to one of those big ones on Easter Sunday morning. And I'm going to go with someone that is very dear to my heart, and I'm going to go to one of those things, and we've already said we're going to see the show because I'm going to worship. And I told this person that's going with me, you worship where you are when you get up, because I don't go. You can't worship Zarex in a circus tent. You can't. There's too much distraction going on. And that's what I'm trying to get in the people's minds. Sunday morning, there's going to be too much to distract you to keep you from worshiping. How can you worship and adore God and thank Him for everything that He's given you so that you can be a good steward and you put all that money in those children's clothes for one day?
Absolutely.
It is abomination, man. And Zarex, what? Look, man, I was guilty of it too. Maybe I'm a little older and I'm thinking this way, but I think, man, that's the way the sinners are looking at us. See, the sinners that say, oh, you guys are better than us. We're all going to hell, but look at what you're doing.
Right.
See.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I think you're in this, it would consider to be the cell phone era of church. It's a totally different time period.
Yeah.
The time period in which you went to church, I remember it well, that of course you had the flesh, which you had the dress, you had all of that stuff. The difference maker was when the pastor stood there in a robe.
Yeah.
That represents being transparent.
Yes.
You weren't able to see any of his personality.
Yes.
His clothes, his watch.
Yes.
Shirt,
ooh, that's good.
Any of that stuff.
Yes.
He stood there in a traditional black robe with nothing.
Yes.
Opened up the Word of God and began to proclaim it.
Yes.
That convicted everything that you felt prior to him taking that text. It would be similar to, I don't know if your audience was familiar with this HBO movie about this guy by the name of Vernon Johns. And it was the Vernon Johns story about the individual that was the civil rights pastor that led the Ebenezer Baptist Church before Martin Luther King. And they kicked him out of the church. And the reason they kicked him out of the church is because he noticed with his, you know, his PhD and all his degrees that these black people were attempting to come to church for the show. And they were attempting to get away from their poor heritage.
Yes.
So looking at them, he turned around and said, "Rose, sing Go Down Moses." And she said, "Well, we don't sing those songs. Those are Negro spirituals." And so he said, "You mean to tell me that we are beyond the point of depravity of and Go Down Moses?" She said, "It's undignified." And so he said, "Okay, carry on." And when he took his text, and he talked about Dives and about how the rich man and the poor man being in hell.
Yeah.
And he made the synonymous view that everybody in this church, even though you're black, you're attempting to be like the rich man, looking at the so-called sinner as being the poor man, and you're totally depraved in your own way. And it shocked the whole church.
Yes.
Back when you grew up, John, there was a thing to where the pastor spoke in a way that every single Sunday you searched yourself.
Right, absolutely.
Every single Sunday, man, when that guy was done preaching the gospel, if you weren't sure, you wanted to go down and repent all over again.
Yes.
By the nature of what he spoke.
Yes.
And so it took everything away from the dress. By the time the dress was done, nobody wanted to look at their shoes. Nobody
right.
wanted to look at the stuff they just bought.
Right.
Felt like going back to the Cadillac dealer and turning their car in because the pastor convicted them of
yes.
everything
yes.
in worldliness.
Yes.
And said, "The only thing that you stand before God is barren, naked, and in need of a Savior."
And listen, check this out. Jerry's rightly put and rightly so. Because here's a contention. The contention is, instead of the preachers doing that, the preachers put in the mind of the congregants that even though that they had accumulated all of these worldly things, the preacher forgot to put it there, that God wanted you to have most of it. The sin of attaining worldly things is not that you have those things, because we live in a materialistic society. There's nothing wrong with the Easter parade. There's nothing wrong with it. But God is saying, pay homage to me. Now, how
right.
can we say that we're paying homage to him and God made all of us and all of us are ruinous and we are in that place and any type of human, I'm not talking about the materialism, but human bigotry. When you expose yourself, man, listen. I know Zarek's better than anybody else when I am feeling racist tendencies, when I'm around certain, I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to say it on the webcast, because these people frighten me. I don't know whether you've been around mean-looking Ukrainian men and their families. I've been in public malls and places like that, and with all these Europeans coming over here, the Hispanic people I've always intermingled with. But Europeans from the Ukraine thing, these people, now that's a form of biasness that's in me. I can talk about it. I can express it because I am a Christian. I love God. Some people feel that way about people of their own nationality in church, in the church.
Right.
That cannot be. There is no worship taking place.
Now, let's put a times table to this end.
Okay.
Rephrase your question. You are the married guy with your wife in church.
Okay.
And the gay homosexual sitting there listening to the Easter sermon,
yes,
is not only homosexual,
yes,
but now he's Ukrainian and he's needing God. Do you, John, grab his hand knowing that he, the Ukrainian, looks at John and John feels this tension against the Ukrainian, but at that moment you both are equal because you're both looking towards Christ, and that Ukrainian feels your agape love because you're sharing in what Christ did for both of you?
When I look in the face of the gay Ukrainian man and see who I'm looking at, and I've just heard the same message that he's heard, and before I looked at the gay Ukrainian man, I said in my heart, yes, Lord, preacher. Yes, Lord, preacher. And then I look at him, and the Ukrainian needs of me my love, I would just start tearing up and grab his hand and say, you too, my brother. You too. Right? And so the church and my wife would hear.
And that, my Christian audience, is what's lacking from our evangelical community.
Because they won't do it.
Because they won't do it.
They won't do it,
man. In a church, I've been there with a group of individuals that they have a predisposed disdainment.
Yes.
And they will not become transparent and say, that's right, amen,
mm-hmm,
amen, 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 you too, my brother.
Right.
And that's why individuals, when
right,
it comes to, oh, how I remember, there's a song, there was a song, John, being that we're on the webcast, says, oh, well, hold on, remember how Jesus brought me through.
Mm.
I worked and soared a bitter night or two. Oh, Lord, something, something. This is, I love my Jesus. How about you? How about you? Old Baptist song. Oh, how about you? How about you?
Yeah.
It's that remembering factor. When you find people that are not able to remember the point of destitution and the need for Christ, now you understand why Pastor John indicts the evangelical. Because it's a show on both halves. It's a show for the ignorant person, and it's a show for the intellectual.
Right.
And the people in the streets say, man, I'm not You mean to tell me I'm about to go get a prejudice show? And then when it comes to the hood, I'm going to get a ghetto show? And the world decided to say, well, I'm going to do my own doggone show.
Yeah.
And that's what you have.
That's what you have. And see, I couldn't have expressed it better. That is why when people were, well, aren't you going to the show? I said, I don't want to go to that show. I don't feel like a show on Easter Sunday morning.
Right.
See. Now, man, look, just let me say this right now, because, you know, you and I have been talking not about this show or anything today. I just got to share with the audience, that's why I want you to put that meeting together. We don't have to talk about that. Because
right,
of what just happened between me and you. And I believe deep down in my heart that it's going to happen that way, supernaturally like that. And I appreciate everything that you're doing to bring that to pass. But I got to move on and get this up on the internet. I love you, son. Listen to the show when you get a chance.
And you know what?
Yes, sir.
That was total God.
Yes. Absolutely. And that's why I love you so much.
Me too.
And that's why you're going to always be my boy.
Absolutely.
Man, you my boy. I love you, man.
Because we transparent and man, we died to the show.
Hey, there it is, man.
Because we don't care.
Hey, there it is, man.
We don't. I mean, that's why John can feel it and I can feel it.
Yeah.
Because we technically don't care.
Hey, we, right.
We were done with the show.
Right. Now, we got to get that over to the babies that are out there that's never seen the way it's done.
Right.
Because the dudes that's running the show don't want to do that. They don't want to. They don't want that to take place, man. You see, and that's what I'm saying, man. We got these babies. And I feel real good because, and I just say this quick, I passed him perchance in the street today, and we embraced each other, hugged each other. Just keep him in your prayers. He's out there having a good time.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he's having a good time. But just keep him in your prayers. But I love you, man.
Love you too.
And we'll be talking real soon.
All right.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Boy, that I couldn't. It's not planned. That's Pastor John. That's Into the Word, the Biblical Alternative. So you figure it out. What you going through? Are you going through a spring break, or Easter break, or what? Because see, whenever I take my time off to think about things like that, that's what I be thinking. Happy Easter.